Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
John O'Donohue, and let me tell you a little bit about him. John lives in Ireland. In fact, we're talking to him right now while he is in Ireland. And he's a Catholic scholar who lectures and conducts workshops in the United States and Europe. He was awarded a PhD in philosophical theology from the University of Tübingen. In 1990, he is the author of the award-winning book and the number one bestseller, Anam Cara, which we've spoken of before on the show, folks. You've heard us do that. And which is also a number one bestseller in Ireland, as I said, for more than a year. His new book is called Eternal Echoes. John O'Donohue, welcome back to the show.
Bless you, Jim, and thank you very much for having me on.
It's so good to have you with us. Tell us exactly where you are right now in Ireland.
I'm in the middle of Connemara in the west of Ireland, and the place is really lovely. It's kind of surrounded by mountains, and today, Good Friday, there's a lovely, slow kind of light everywhere, and you can see the shadows of the clouds on the mountain, and the lake out in front of the house here is just really blue, and there's a lovely ruffle of texture on it by the wind.
Connemara.
The mountains look great. It's one of the nicest Good Fridays I remember.
Folks, let me offer something to you right now. I would just like, did anybody else just become really relaxed and peaceful when you heard John say those words? I would like to offer you the opportunity just to sort of slow down just a little bit in your day. If you're driving, slow down just a little bit. If you're sitting around somewhere, just sort of rear back a little bit and lean back. Close your eyes and listen. Because you're going to hear some of the most beautiful words, some of the most beautiful descriptions of thoughts and ideas in this hour that I think maybe you've ever heard. And I'd just like to offer this hour to you to relax a little bit and to think about yourself, to think about centering yourself, to think about getting a little balance in your life. And John O'Donohue can help you do that more than anybody that I know. And I want to read something, John, from your book.
Uh-huh.
Folks, this is chapter one. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But I do have part of a paragraph that I want to read to you, and it's beautiful. And I want you to think about yourself when I read this. In the beginning was the dream. In the eternal night where no dawn broke, the dream deepened. Before anything ever was, it had to be dreamed. Everything had its beginning and possibility. Every single thought is somehow the expression and incarnation of a thought. If a thing had never been thought, it could never be. John, I really love that passage, and the reason that I do is because small business owners and dreamers are out there, and they're completely engrossed in their dream, in their passion, in the thing that they want to do more than anything in the world, which is to follow their dream and operate their small business, whatever it might be, large or small, complicated or simple. And I'll tell you, that passage really speaks to me. And folks, that's from chapter one, which is called Awakening in the World. John, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I think that one of the most fascinating things in any life is the thoughts that we use. And Meister Eckhart, who was a 14th century mystic and a wonderful thinker, said once that our thoughts are our inner senses. And if you think of your outer senses, your hearing, touch, taste, and above all, your vision, that's what brings the physical world to you. That's how you know that you're actually here. Now, if thoughts are our inner senses, that means that our inner life and inner world is actually brought to us by the kind of thoughts that we have. And I often think that if our thoughts are negative, impoverished, or destructive, that then we see nothing within ourselves. And one of the most subversive and profound ways of changing one's life is to actually change the kind of thoughts that you actually use and to transfigure them. And I think as well, of course, you know it yourself in business, Jim, that it is the quality of thinking and the quality of dream and essentially the quality of vision that one has, the imagination that one has, that actually creates the work world that you live in. And I always think that a person with a rich imagination inevitably has an enriched life. And sometimes people who have an awful lot of things in their lives do an awful lot of things but have no imagination, have a massively impoverished life. Whereas sometimes even among very poor people who actually have nothing, the quality of their imagination means that they live in a very textured, satisfying and wondrous kind of world. I think the beauty and the loneliness of being a human person is that so much depends on the nature of your mind, because it's your mind that makes the reality that you actually see and live. And if your mind has a kindness, a generosity and a wonder in it, you'll always be excited by life and awakened and impassioned.
See what I mean, folks? I hope that your eyes are closed. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. but
imagine causing an accident in Alabama words from Connemara.
We don't want that. So be sure that just kind of relax a little bit, lean back a little bit, and just sort of think about some of the words we're saying here. John, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're going to be back with our very good friend, John O'Donohue. He's a blessing in our lives. He's the author of Anamkara, which is available in America right now, as well as his new book, Eternal Echoes. And that's some of the passages that we're taking for our discussion today is from the book, Eternal Echoes, Exploring Our Yearning to Belong. We're going to be right back in just a few minutes. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is our good friend, John O'Donohue. John is the author of the new book, called Eternal Echoes, Exploring Our Yearning to Belong. It is an excellent book, folks. It is in the same spirit, very similar spirit to his book Anamkara, a book of Celtic wisdom, which I have spoken of many times on the show before. And John, there is a blessing on page 97 of your new book Eternal Echoes. Would you please read that blessing for us?
I'd be delighted, Tom. And I'd like to read this blessing as a blessing for all our listeners. May you awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. May you have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. May you receive great encouragement when new frontiers beckon. May you respond to the call of your gift and find the courage to follow its path. May the flame of anger free you from falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame, and may anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. May you take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. May you become souled in the secret cemetery of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder.
Thank you, John, for that blessing. And folks, that's for everyone, but especially for small business owners and dreamers. And we need all, as those of you who are in business know, we need all the blessings we can get in small business. That you can't have too many of those. John, today is Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for you to take just a moment and just talk to us about what Good Friday means to Christians around the world.
Yeah, I think that for Christians, that the three central days of the year are Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. This triduum is an incredible kind of experience because, in a way, it syncopates or telescopes the whole rhythm of human presence and pain and transfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Good Friday is the most haunted day of the year. There is a kind of loneliness at the heart of Good Friday that is really, really disturbing and uneasy. And it is because the young man, the carpenter poet Jesus, who slowly discovered in his kind of life that he was the God, came on that day to take on his back, on his shoulders, his tender shoulders, all the pain and forsakenness and lonesomeness and neglect and damage of the world and carry it up that mountain, that hill at Calvary, and hold it there in the most intimate kind of embrace ever, so that actually he held it all in his heart and mind and body, and his body in the crucifixion was broken, and he suffered all of our pain there and held it on that most lonesome of days. And it's so awful, really, because if you read the account of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went with his friends who believed and were inspired by his vision, and yet when he needed help, they betrayed him and abandoned him. And even on the hill of Calvary, when he looked toward the heavens to the Father God to rescue him, no voice returned, no echo came back. So he was the totally forsaken one. And in that Good Friday day, this is what we commemorate. And of course, in Christian Jewish terms, commemoration isn't just external repetition of something, it's participation in it. On that lonesome black day, his body became the crucible where all of human pain is lodged. So there is a depth and a darkness. There's a kind of an abyss inside in Good Friday, which is totally haunting. Then after such a dramatic kind of crescendo of pain and lonesomeness, it is so appropriate that Holy Saturday is the most silent day of the year. He's buried, it's all over, it is finished. And yet then on the Sunday morning, the new dawn begins to bring out of that awful darkness fresh spring Easter light, the transfiguration of all the darkness and the renewal of hope and a fresh spring beginning in the heart of each one of us.
John, we'll have to ask you to take a break. We've got to, folks, it's 29 after the hour. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the soul, which is the beauty of the broken circle. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And if you've been listening, you know that we really haven't been focusing on anything specifically about small business this hour. We're talking about you. We're talking about your soul, your spirit, and this inner person inside of you. Our friend John O'Donohue is with us to help us conduct this discussion. He is the author of the new book called Eternal Echoes, Exploring Your Yearning to Belong. It's an outstanding book, folks. I have one in my hand, and I really recommend it to you. I'd also like to recommend that while you're picking up your copy of Eternal Echoes, that you also buy Anamkara, a book of Celtic wisdom. It's a wonderful book, and I have really enjoyed it. And I actually met John's book before I met him. I met your book and fell in love with it before I ever met you. And I sought you out because of that book, and I really commit it to my audience. And I know it's available in bookstores around the country. Both of these are available in bookstores. And are they also available online?
They are. They're available at Amazon.com. Actually, the new book and the other book, but the new book, Eternal Echoes, went to number 19, I think, in the Amazon.com bestseller thing,
wow,
which is really good.
Congratulations, John. I want to talk about circles, and as you get prepared to talk to us about circles, I want to read something, folks, which is a short passage from his book, and it's called "Soul: The Beauty of the Broken Circle." The one who dreamed the universe loves circles. There is some strange way in which everything that goes forward is somehow still traveling within the embrace of the circle. Belonging and longing are fused within the circle. The day, the year, the ocean's way, the light, the water, and the life insist on moving in the rhythm of the circle. The mind is a circle too. This is what keeps you gathered in yourself. If you were just a point in space, you would be forever isolated and alone. If your life were simply a line through time, you would always be trapped at that point, with all past and future points absent. The beauty of the mind is its circular form. John, I've never thought of it like that, and that really means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I'm always amazed, really, at how, in a certain way, nature was the first Bible, and that that the circles and the structures that we see in nature are beautifully present as well in the human body and the human heart and the human mind. I mean, the human body is your only home in the universe. It's ancient clay as old as the earth itself. And I think that as the circle is the main rhythm of season, growth, and transformation in nature, that it's also the same way in the human mind. And I often think that the mind itself is like a broken circle, that there is some point where the circle is actually broken. And it's in that little gap, that break, that fissure, that all our longing derives from, all our creativity, and as well all of our potential. I think there's nothing as sinister, in a sense, as somebody whose mind is a totally closed circle, because they have a kind of a metallic certainty which can be very unfeeling and dangerous in a way. I think that part of the beauty of human vulnerability is precisely this break in the circle of our kind of consciousness, thinking, and feeling. And I think that it takes a long time for a person to learn patience with and respect for their own vulnerability. I think the strength and splendor and beauty of a relationship or friendship depends exactly on how vulnerable each person can be with the other. Because at that level of intimacy, you don't need to prove anything, you don't need control, you don't need manipulation. The beauty of real friendship in that sense is that you can let yourself be and let yourself be seen as you really are. And I think that's what we all hunger for.
One of the things that I think about, John, and that this what this passage that I just read and this part of the book has spoken to me about, when it's given me a new insight into the circular form, and to me, and you help me here if I'm missing something, but to me, one of the very important components of the circle is renewal. And by that I mean if I'm living my life making a lot of mistakes and I decide that I don't want to do those anymore, I want to redeem myself in some way on maybe many different levels, the beauty of the way we live our lives is that I can make that circle, I can finish that circle where I've made all those mistakes, and I can start a new circle and redeem myself and to be a better person.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's one of the lovely things about the Easter season, is that it takes place exactly on the threshold of spring. So around here now, all the buds and trees and flowers are just coming forth.
Right.
And, you know, the Buddhists say that when one flower blooms, it is spring everywhere. And I think when one new insight, one new change happens in the heart, that then the whole meadows of your heart become springtime in a way. And that one of the really lovely things about people is that they have an irrepressible potential and ability to really change and to let go of that which has become deadened or numbed or damaged and to come into new fields of possibility and presence.
When we come back, folks, after the break, John, I'm going to get John to tell us what he means when he says exploring our yearning to belong. I want to hear what he has to say about that. It's 39 after the hour. I'm really enjoying our visit with John O'Donohue, the author of Eternal Echoes, and his other book is called Anamkara. I know you're enjoying this too. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend John O'Donohue. And John is the author of Eternal Echoes, Exploring Our Yearning to Belong, and the other book that I love very much because I've just known about it longer, and it's called Anamkara. I recommend you check both of these out. They're available in bookstores. They're available at Amazon.com. Please check them out, and let John know if you like the book. Let me know, and then I'll pass it along to John. And I know you will like the book. Just in a program note, folks, I want to let you know what's coming up in the next hour. Lewis Key is going to be talking with us about prepaid legal fees, something kind of an interesting thing. It's not new, but it's new to me. I wasn't familiar with it. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Also coming up, some of our next guests, Kent Weekly is going to join us on Monday. We're going to be talking about the use of graphics in your marketing material. Also, Tim Berry, our good buddy Tim Berry, is going to join us again, and we're going to be talking about how he started his software company. I had some people to call me and say, we'd like to hear Tim talk about how he started his software company. And so we're going to be talking to him about that. And a lot of other good folks coming up later in the week, next week. I'm looking forward to all those. John O'Donohue, I would like for you to tell us what you mean when you say our yearning to belong.
I think that one of the amazing things about humans is that every human needs to belong. But there are different longings in the human heart, and essentially the human heart is a theater of longings. But one of our crucial longings is the longing to belong. You can see that very clearly in that the times of most pain and hurt in one's life are times of rejection, when you're rejected or excluded or put outside belonging. It's a very lonesome time. And in the new book, I have a whole thing on presence, a whole thing on forms of belonging that are too small for us, and as well, a whole chapter on suffering, which is the thing about broken belonging. I think belonging is central to our identity, because each one of us comes into the world through the body of the woman, through the body of the mother. It's our only way into the universe. And that's where we first belong. And in a sense, that sets the rhythm of all our belonging in life. But belonging is also crucial in nature. For instance, here around on the last several weeks around the trees, I have seen the crows build their nests, mm-hmm. little nests of belonging where the young can come into the world. And I think when you really belong somewhere, or when you really belong with someone, you never belong to anyone, but when you belong with someone, or when you belong to yourself, then your life settles down, you come into a natural rhythm, and harmony and peace kind of really suffuse your heart. Whereas at times of broken belonging, you're really isolated, exposed, and very, very lonely. I think one of our big needs is that need to belong. And I also think that it's in us, because that's the way that we were created, with this longing in us for that. There's an English mystic that I love, Julian of Norwich. And God, when talking to her one time, said, and this is in her writings, the Lord said, "Behold, I am the ground of thy beseeching," meaning, when you long, I am the ground of your longing. So our longing for God in us is actually God's presence, you know. So it's very fascinating how tenderly we're structured and how beautiful our need is to be part of something that is alive and greater than us and more gracious than our own smallness and limitation.
John, you said something a minute ago that I want you to expand on a little bit. You said some places are too small for us. What do you mean by that?
The title of the third chapter in Eternal Echoes is Prisons Within Which We Choose to Live. I think that a lot of people create frames of belonging for themselves that are too small for them. For instance, a lot of people are imprisoned in a concept of harsh deity, of a God that is vindictive, that really judges them, that's a kind of a moral accountant always watching them. And I think if you have a notion of God like that, it can totally cripple and damage your life. Some people as well allow the expectations of others to set the frontiers of their own potential. And when these expectations are very narrow and confining, you can really damage your life kind of completely. Another form of broken or small belonging is sometimes the anger that people get caught in, the anxiety they get caught in. Sometimes people live in the prison of shame, in the prison of guilt, or in the prison of victimhood. And my point in the book is to try and indicate ways that we can leave these prisons behind us and come out into the pastures of possibility and renewal and creativity, because we've only one life. And I think that one of the greatest sins is the unlived life. Second century theologian and saint St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is the human person fully alive.
I could listen to him all day, folks. I know you're enjoying this, because I always do when John joins us, John O'Donohue, when he joins us from Ireland, and it's just wonderful to hear his voice. John, what I want to do, we're going to be taking a break in just a few minutes, in just a few seconds, I should say. And folks, you know, those of you who have been listening to me know that I have had our soldiers and airmen and sailors and Marines on our mind, and not only those of them of America, but the ones who are working are with the other NATO countries who are engaged in this conflict over in the Balkan region. And when we come back, I've asked John O'Donohue if he would offer a prayer for all of the young people who are over there in that conflict, because especially there are three Americans who are being held captive right now, and when we come back, he's going to offer a prayer for those young people. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I really know that you've enjoyed this past hour that we spent with John O'Donohue. He's still with us. Don't worry. John, as I promised, I would like to ask you to offer a prayer to the sons and daughters who are engaged in the conflict in the Balkan region, and especially to the three young men who are being held captive right now and who must be very frightened, and to their families. Would you please do that now?
Okay. We ask the Lord, in the name of all the good that we have done, in the name of anything we have suffered, and in the name of the love that is towards us and the great love which the Lord has for us, we ask that the conflict may cease in the Balkans, that peace may return, that those who are engaged may be protected and minded, and that all the innocent people who had no part in causing this may be saved and protected, and that we in our own lives might always work for peace and help to be critical of strategies of war that cause such destruction. And may some of the light of this spring day and the kindness at the heart of this Good Friday protect all those people in the Balkans and mind them and keep them safe from destruction. And in the minds of those who are causing this, that revelation and illumination might occur and that peace might be restored.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me as the father of a Marine and who may wind up being over there one day, and for all those who are over there. John, there's a poem in the back of your book called Vespers, and we've actually only got about 2 minutes. A little bit less than 2 minutes. Would you read that poem for us, please?
I will, yeah. This is more an evening poem than a morning poem, but it suits Good Friday, too. It's called Vespers. As light departs to let the earth be one with night, silence deepens in the mind and thoughts grow slow. The basket of twilight brims over with colors gathered from within the secret meadows of the day and offered like blessings to the gathering tenebrae. After the day's frenzy, may the heart grow still, gracious in thought for all the day brought, surprises that dawn could never have dreamed, the blue silence that came to still the mind, the quiver of mystery at the edge of a glimpse, the golden echoes of worlds behind voices, tense faces unable to hide what gripped the heart, the abrupt cut of a glance or a phrase that hurt, the flame of longing that distance darkened, bouquets of memory that gathered on the heart's altar, the thorns of absence in the rose of dream, and the whole while the unknown underworld of the mind turning slowly in its secret orbit. May the blessing of sleep bring refreshment and release, and the angel of the moon call the rivers of dream to soften the hardened earth of the outside life, disentangle from the trapped nets the hurt and sorrow, and awaken the young soul for the new tomorrow.
Thank you for that, John. That was beautiful.
Okay.
John, I like the way you think. And,
Thank you.
And folks, there's one last passage I want to read very quickly. This is from the book Eternal Echoes. Thought is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. The way you see things makes them what they are. Even your meetings with yourself happen in and by means of thinking. John, that's got to be the last word, I'm afraid. I like the way you think, and I'm glad that you're my friend.
Lovely. And thank you, Jim, and a happy Easter to all of our listeners and to you as well.
Same to you, sir. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you.
All right, folks, got to wrap it up for this hour. Golly, I really enjoyed this. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, because without your courage, small business owners, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Let me tell you who are.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.